This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Welcome back to Nation Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. We're continuing on with our Best Of show, and we're going to take a listen to an interview that Low Tide had a chance to do with Michael Spadel last July, and they basically just talk about the early days of free agency as well as the draft.
Well, I think Ryan Smith coming back is great. Moving Foster is a good idea. They obviously were wishing they could have got rid of Brule's money, but still a very good deal. Belanger definitely addresses a need. I'm not too sure about Hordachek and Eager. I mean, they're definitely better players than Jacques and McIntyre, but how much better? And if you end up giving them, another 5-10 minutes a night, I don't know if that's better off than just giving the minutes to Smith or Hall or Eberle or whoever.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on the defensive overhaul, bringing Barker in and also trading for Sutton?
Well, I like the idea behind the Barker experiment. The money seems a bit high, but seems like a reasonable gamble. He'd be an RFA next summer, so if it works out well, you've got an asset, and if it doesn't, then just move on and find someone else. I'm not too sure about the Foster for Sutton trade. It's tough to say because Sutton is, to me, he's a bit of a problem for the Oilers in that he gets injured kind of frequently, mm-hmm. and they already have enough of those guys, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, the Foster trade was made necessary because Barker fills that spot, and Sutton is a guy that, you know, if your coach, and I think this is the a team makeup issue with regard to Eager and Hordachek, and then with Sutton, if the coach wants to have more, you know, truculence, more physical play, Sutton's a guy who even if he plays 40 games, he does fill that need.
Yeah, that's the way I see it too. That Foster's Barker's coming in for Foster, and Sutton is coming in as an upgrade to Vandermeer kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, one of the concerns I have, just from the point of view of moving forward with the future, is Barker kind of cuts off Petrie a little bit in that they're similar players. It is unlikely that both will make the roster, I think, just based on the numbers as they stand now. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's a matter of best player wins in training camp, or how do you feel?
Well, I think it will be best player wins in training camp, and right now they only have the six guys that are kind of firmly in there, I guess seven if you count Petrie. There's arguments both ways. If you send Petrie back to play 25 minutes a night and then come up as soon as someone's injured, I don't know. I can see the argument to that instead of keeping him here and playing 15 minutes a night.
Okay, sounds good. Let's talk about the Oilers draft because it's a week old now, and I often find that after a week or so, you get further details and maybe have a longer look at players, and some things that weren't obvious become more obvious as time goes on. What was the, aside from the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins pick, because obviously it was first overall, what was the highlight for you from the Oilers' point of view?
Well, I like Reeder, where they got him. Mm-hmm. I think Simpson's a pretty good pickup at 92, such a young guy in college. And I know there's kind of the whole Simpson being an ex-Oiler kind of thing, but I think he's pretty good value at that point in the draft. Gernot will be interesting to see what happens. I really like the sounds of Klefbom and Musil, but I just generally prefer to take forwards at that time of the draft. But if they are going to take defensemen, Klefbom was the number one guy left on my list at that point, and Musil was number two. Only Clendening did I have higher than Musil at 31.
In regard to the first round, and this is obviously all the teams involved in the first round, was Scheifele the shock pick for you, or perhaps it was Brodin?
Brodin probably a little bit less so than Scheifele. Scheifele to me is pretty surprising there. I mean, as you know, I had Couturier rated pretty highly, and I guess their scouts think that Scheifele has better long-term potential than Couturier, and maybe he does, but I found that pretty surprising.
One of the things that I've learned over the years, when you publish your draft list, if you have Couturier high, I'll watch him closely because you're usually spot on with these things. Why do you think, obviously we didn't follow Couturier closely. We do have news on things like, he had mono and obviously was close to, or missed some time at camp and was behind everybody as the season began and wore on. What do you think the reasons are inside that we don't know about that Couturier might fall to where he did?
Well, skating would maybe be the one, maybe would be one, but we know that one. Probably, I mean, I don't want to speculate about the guy's attitude or whatever, but if we're talking about things we don't know, when a guy that came into the year as a top one or two or three pick and then all of a sudden slides to eight, I don't know. it's got to at least cross people's mind that maybe that was an issue.
As an observer of the draft, I always found it interesting that he was not really interviewed, and during the draft, nobody that I saw, certainly TSN's coverage, didn't have him interviewed either.
Yeah, it's like last time we were talking, you know, if you've got a guy pretty similarly rated to another guy, and that other guy is just way more friendly with the media or just seems more comfortable in that kind of setting, it's tough to take the guy that has that deficiency, maybe.
Yeah. Can you give me your reasons behind one of the things that I noticed in your draft, and I do it too because I've sort of adopted your attitude towards defensemen. You would prefer, if you're observing the Oilers, you would prefer that they draft defensemen later. And is that because of the fact that it takes them a little longer to develop?
It's definitely part of it, but I also think that forwards are generally a bit more projectable than defensemen, and that the development that comes after the draft is critical for forwards and defensemen, but I think it's a bit more unknowable for defensemen. So I would rather get the more sure talent in the early rounds at forward and then just hope that my superior development helps the guys that I draft in the third, fourth, and fifth rounds.
Are there any other draft tendencies that you've noticed that, aside from the defensemen, that you prefer, size, skill, anything like that?
Well, I tend to favor hockey sense and skill, yeah, no question.
Okay, good stuff. Now let's talk a little bit about luck, because I think that you know, Stu McGregor is, I think he's had great drafts, but there is in each year an element of luck, and I go back to Kevin Prendergast, who in 2007 was blessed and cursed at the same time because he had three first round picks in what we are seeing increasingly was not an impact draft. So now you come to Stu McGregor in the last 2 years. In 2010, I think he had four picks in the top 50, and this year he had three in the top 31. How much does luck have to do, based on the up and down nature of each draft year, for these guys who are trying to pick the right player at a particular number?
I think if you stay in the range with the players that you're picking at a certain spot, I think luck is basically the overriding factor. Like, for instance, Klefbom went at 19, and I had him rated actually exactly 19th. There are a couple of guys left, but they're all kind of in that same next tier of talent, and if one of those guys becomes a star and Klefbom doesn't, or Klefbom does and the other guy doesn't, I mean, I don't know how much of that is scouting and how much of that is just kind of the way things go.
Right, and with defenseman, injury is such a huge factor as well.
For sure.
So looking at the Edmonton Oilers now as they head towards the fall, and they've got the rookie camp coming up next week in Sherwood Park, for Oiler fans, do you believe Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a guy who is going to play the nine games, and then, you know, they'll make a decision after that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. And if he performs as well as Gagne did in his nine, I don't think they'll be sending him back.
Okay. And do you feel that the Oilers have anybody else that they've taken in the last 2 years, and I'm talking Curtis Hamilton here or possibly Marinson, anybody who, if they have a strong training camp, they might have a shot at making the team?
It would need to be a really strong camp, because the Eager signing kind of cut those guys off, like Hartikainen and Hamilton maybe would have had a chance if they hadn't got an Eager type or a Hordachek type, but I'm just not sure. I guess we'll see what happens for trades, too, if a guy like Cogliano's here in the fall. Because right now they've kind of got 14 forwards here without Nugent Hopkins. So if he sticks, you've got two guys that got to go.
Yeah.
Someone else to make it.
Yeah, I think we also have to factor in, I mentioned this the other day on the blog, that Brulé, you know, he may have, I don't know how you quantify this or what you do with it, but this may be an LTIR issue just because it's not known, you know, when he's going to recover, and there seems to be a little bit of question about whether he's recovered now.
Yeah, it's tough to know because we don't really know what's going on there, and plus it's, you know, 4 or 5 months away, so... Or is it even that long? What, October? Yeah, I guess 3 months or so.
Yeah, there's still some time. If you're if you have the ear of Steve Tambellini and you're looking at this top nine, do you look at somebody like Belanger, possibly, you know, playing mentor to Pajarvi and Omar, or would you like to have him play with like Jones and Smith as an example in an attempt to have a kind of a checking shutdown line?
I kind of wonder if they'll try him with Smith and Omar, and then just to get that kind of blend of vet and younger guys on each line.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that before, but that's a like a lot of skill there, but there's also some grit and some playmaking ability with Omar. Where do you see Omar? The Oilers have three guys who are have proven at some level that they can quarterback, a power play in Omar Kempski, who has obviously done it at a high level, and Gagne. Do you think that those three are equal in ability, or do you think that Omar, because he's a left-handed guy, may offer the team a different look?
Yeah, well, because he's got the different shot, he definitely offers a different look. But if it was me, I would just stick them all on the same unit. Like, my personal philosophy on power play is I just want my five best passers out there and then just pass it around until you get a chance that you can't pass up on and score.
You know what? That's at least as advanced as what the Oilers have been doing the last 10 years. So, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you there. Do you think that the Oilers are going to be active in the, Cogliano is some kind of a trade that addresses defense in the next, 2 months?
It's tough to tell now because I'm not really sure what the goal is for next year. Like, they've kind of added all these guys, but how much has the team really improved? I mean, the only two teams in the West that finished less than 20 points ahead of Edmonton last year were Colorado and Columbus. And it's tough to imagine that Columbus got worse. Colorado's created pretty good incentive to be better next year with that Varlamov deal. Who knows if they'll stay healthy, but he's definitely an improvement on what they had if he does. So I don't know. Are they kind of trying to look like they're being competitive, or are they really trying to be competitive? I'm not sure yet.
And one way we could find out is if there was a rumor yesterday that they were inquiring into Thomas Vokoun. They sign him and they improve a lot, right?
Yeah. I think if they sign Vokoun, I think they're in a pretty good position to, I don't know, make the playoffs, but you got to think they'd be hanging around until at least later than January, like it's been recently.
Well, that would represent a huge upgrade, and obviously would have an impact on Nikolai Habibulin, and that's for another day. But get your opinion on this. Just across the wire, the Los Angeles Kings have reached a verbal agreement with left wing Simon Gagné in a 2-year contract. More details to come. That's the other shoe dropping from the Ryan Smith trade. How do you feel like Los Angeles made out there?
That's the classic Lombardi move. I like that move. That's a good move.
How do you think Los Angeles has done this summer? You like their move so far?
Yeah, I think I would imagine they're pretty much done now. Losing Smith kind of hurts, so I guess we'll see what the terms are on Gagne, but I'm sure Gagne is coming at a lower cap hit than Smith. I don't know what they have left for room. I guess they've got to redo Doughty's deal, but I think they're probably pretty much done.
There was a rumor they were in on the Brad Richards as opposed to the Mike Richards who they got earlier, the Brad Richards sweepstakes. Did that make sense to you? It didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it makes sense to me in that you can never have too many good forwards.
Right.
But I don't know about the whole 9-year thing. They might be regretting that. But I guess as we've seen, it's not really too much of a deal to dump those last years at the end on someone who needs to come up to the cap.
Okay, final question for you, Mike. Can we look forward to something on free agency on your blog in the next while?
Yeah, I'll be writing a review of what the Oilers did yesterday. I'll probably write a more full draft review, and then I'll probably write something about the restricted free agent market and see if we're going to see any offer sheets in that area.
Oh, sounds good. Do you anticipate anything? Do you think there's a candidate out there that is worth pursuing, say, for a team like the Oilers?
For the Oilers, there might be a defenseman or two they can pinch in the $3 million range if they can find a right defenseman.
Interesting.
I don't think Stamkos would be ideal for the, well, he'd probably be a good addition, but I don't know if he'd be kind of exactly what they want to do right now in terms of dumping four first rounders.
And also there'd be signing problems as time went on. Speeds, Mike, thanks so much. You can read him in the Hockey Symposium. You have a great summer, and thanks for your time.
You too. Thanks a lot.
There you have it. Alan Mitchell and Mike Spadel taking us back to a time when we were all so optimistic and hoping for the best. I really miss those days, actually. Coming up next in our sixth and final segment, we're going to talk to Jeff Chrischel about the effects of playing up in Mile High City. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motor.